I think we should sing Happy Anniversary. Now, what would have happened if Diane had come up to you that day and said, "You're going to be my husband"? Sometimes it's a good idea not to say anything. Well, we're glad the Lord brought you together and that He brought you here. Thank God. How many love Judy McDonald? Jerry, your hand better go up. Something's really wrong. What do I do with my oil? Okay. She has a lovely heart, a warm soul. Isn't anything she wouldn't do for people? And she has just a little bit of the Dickens in her. Not as much as Jerry, but she has a little. And we just love her to pieces. And because Jerry is here, I asked him last night, I said, "I'd like to have you come up and be in proxy for Judy." Because the Bible says you're married, so two are one. So when we're praying for you, we're really praying for her too. So I'm going to ask you to come up. I'd like the board to come up and to gather around him. And we're going to anoint him with oil for Judy and pray.
Lord, she is just a shining star. Lord, her heart beats so much bigger than she even understands. And in that vein, we pray for her heart and the blockages. Lord, 100% and 80%, that is major. But God, you're bigger than that. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would just clear it out. Lord Jesus, that you would just begin that eternal healing that only you can do. And it will just be a testimony of faith to the doctors, Lord, and all of the people that are serving her. We thank you for the progress she's made. We thank you that she can recognize her family and others. We thank you, Lord, that you are taking care of some of the effects of the stroke. Lord Jesus, we just want to say thank you. Thank you that you spared her life. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for that. And we know, Lord, every step will be difficult, but every step is important. Lord, because she's not walking alone. And we pray this morning that you would visit her, Lord, in that hospital room with a visitation, Lord, that is unlike anyone else's. God, that you would touch her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Lord, and you would minister, Lord Jesus. Father, in a body where only one kidney is functioning, we pray, Lord, that you would make up for that. God, we ask you to do, while you got her, Lord, in your hands, take care of everything that concerns her. Lord, encourage Jerry today in the family. I pray you lift them up, Lord, in your presence. I pray, Lord Jesus, you give them your word, Lord, in the night. God, we need promises from you, Lord Jesus, of what you are going to do, Lord. And you're the one that can tell us because you know the end from the beginning. And so we ask you, Lord Jesus, for your divine healing, for your divine help, for your testimony to go forth. Lord, for your wisdom to come to the doctors and all that serve her. Lord Jesus, and we pray that your fingerprints and your footprints would be so real throughout this entire process. Lord, and we thank you for it. We just cover Jerry, Lord, in the blood of Christ, Father God, and in the love of this church, God, and most importantly, in the love of Christ. God, have your way, we pray, and make this difficulty, Lord, into a blessing that is just insurmountable. And we know that what the enemy means for harm, God will make for good. We praise you, we thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sure. Jerry asked if he could say a few words. We already know few is not the adjective, but you know, certainly.
Well, I feel like I got a little message from God. 2 months ago, I had a car accident on University Avenue, and had I not had side airbags, I probably would have been killed. Judy and I just talked 3 weeks ago, and we were saying how fortunate we were, 75 years old and 73, no diabetes, no heart trouble. Ha. Anyway, God has a plan for all of us. And part of his plan, if we hadn't been in the doctor's office, Judy would have been dead. We would have been home. Her blood pressure was up to 250. And I praise God that we had a doctor's appointment at that point. What I want to say, it's a little harsh, but almost in every church, there's some people that aren't living their life for God. We all know that God wants us to have him number one in our life. And death can come so fast, like a whisker. I feel like we both could be dead, boom, and you never know when you might die or when the Lord might come. And I'm just here to encourage everybody to look at their Christian life and see if they are putting God number one. But I thank you for all your prayers. We're just having a family visit right now. She'll probably go to transitional care maybe next week. She loves you all and she wants to say hi. And I thank you for the prayers. Just that little window when we were at the doctor's office. Because otherwise I feel she would have been home sleeping in bed and gone. But that's how fast death can come to us. So I encourage you all to get closer to God. I don't know how close I can get, but I want to get as close as I possibly can. So thank you for all your prayers. I really appreciate them, and Judy appreciates them, and the family does.
And the prayers continue. Bible says pray continually. You know what that means? Stay in a heart of prayer. That's what it really means. So now we're going to sing a great song from the Gaithers. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. Please stand.
I'll walk with joy to know my debts are paid.
Amen. You may be seated. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. If you owed a mega debt and someone paid your debt, you would be jumping all over the place. You'd be so happy, you'd even be glad to see your family. No, I'm kidding. I'm always glad to see mine. You'd be very happy. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. God wiped out our sins. He doesn't dangle them up here and then one day go, "Yoo-hoo, remember what you did?" Because he don't remember. He chooses to forget. I love that. It's not my message, but I love it. Inquiring minds want to know. How many know what the Inquirer is? It's a magazine, a tabloid. Started in 1926. Initially started by William Griffin, who was a protege of William Randolph Hearst. And it was called the New York Evening Inquirer. It was a proving ground for new ideas. And so Hearst would put all of his ideas out there, and then the ones that were good, he'd put in his other publications. And the ones that kind of fell to the bottom, he put them in the Inquirer. In 53, under new management, under new ownership, it ended up being a tabloid as opposed to just information. Now, I remember seeing a tabloid. I was in Rainbow back somewhere in the late 70s, and I know Susan will say that's 100 years ago, but anyway, and I was in checkout, and I saw this, the headline, and it was the funniest headline I ever saw. I actually laughed out loud in the store. They probably thought I was nuts. But this is what it said. Experts believe dinosaurs became extinct by constipation. I thought, well, yeah, they'd be extinct, but then there'd be a new landmass somewhere, wouldn't there? I just thought that was hilarious. I mean, I couldn't even contain myself in the storm. But inquiring. Did you know there's more than one kind of inquiring and seeking the Lord? There's three levels to seek God. I want you to turn to Psalm 27, one of my favorite portions, 4-6. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Did you know that God's word and God's presence is supposed to be in us 24/7, not just when we come to church? Did you know that? Yeah. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he'll keep me safe in his dwelling, and he'll hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle. Remember tabernacle? Going to start teaching on that. It's the moving, roaming tent of the presence of God on this earth, capsuled in the person of Jesus Christ. And he set me high upon a rock, and then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. The first word here, one thing I ask. In the King James Version, and I like this particular translation on this verse, says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Do you know the first step in seeking God is you have to want to. You have to want to. It can't be I have to. Because if you have to, it's going to be duty instead of devotion. And it's going to be something you have to do. What would you say if Marcella said to that lovely young grandson, I have to like him? Oh no, of course not. I choose to. Are you kidding? I'm head over heels for him. God wants us to desire him. The Hebrew word is shawl. And it always reminds me of a shawl that you wear to kind of have warmth. and it's also for fashion, but basically it's for heat, for keep you warm. We first have to desire him. The word means to ask, inquire, desire, and want him. Do you want to be in a relationship with someone who doesn't want you? I don't think so. I think one of the first declarations and requirements for marriage is the other person has to want to be with you. If they love themselves more than they love you, run. Run. Because your relationship is doomed. And the other thing in seeking God and wanting him is we can't just want the answers. We have to want the relationship. Do you know how many people come to God only to give a list of all their requests? And then when the request is answered, where are they? They're out the door because God's already done what he said he'd do. God wants a relationship with us. Whether or not, Lord, you ever do another thing for me, as one of the great songs of Andre Crouch. If heaven never was promised to me, neither God's promise to live eternally, it's been worth having the Lord in my life. And I can say that without any qualification. The next word that's coming up I'm going to get to in a minute, so pardon me, Dave. I know you'll forgive me because you're in church. What is when he asks this great, and he wants the Lord. What is the petition? That I may dwell or live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Doesn't that sound like Psalm 23? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's none of this, God's for Sunday, and the rest of the week is mine. You kidding? He created every day. He should be part of everything. Actually, he should be the head of everything, as Jerry mentioned. I may dwell in the house of the Lord. And the name here for Lord is Yahweh. Who's Yahweh in the Bible? Jesus. Second person of the Godhead. He is the one who came in flesh. He is the one who bought the house so we could live in it all the days of my life. Thank God for that. And to behold the beauty of the Lord. I didn't do the word study on this totally. I did some of it. The Hebrew word is noam, and it means delightful, pleasant, favor, and beauty. Do you know something? You could have something on your mind if you're a young man, you're looking at the gal you really love, and you've forgotten everything you were going to say because you're just beholding the beauty. We have everything in our mind. God, I want you to do this, do this, do this, do this, do that. We need to see the beauty of the Lord, his exquisiteness. Do you realize that the more we go in relationship with him, he's going to take care of the needs we have because he knows them anyway? And he'll probably do a better job. We have a tendency to under-ask as opposed to ask what God really wants to do in our life. To behold the beauty of the Lord. I love that scripture. You can tell what you're seeking by who you see when you're seeking. So I put in the bulletin. See is in the word seek. You can tell who you're seeking. Do you get to know Jesus more? Have you grown in your relationship to the Master? Is he more beautiful to you than he ever has been? We need to get lost in who he is, and then we'll really be found, is the truth. I love the song years ago, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity. Thou Spirit divine, all my new life refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." Because if they don't see his beauty, they'll never desire him. So first, you got to want him. You have to want him. Secondly, you need to seek him. So he says, this is what I seek. This is a different Hebrew word, bagash. And it means to ask and to beg. But the primitive word means to search till you find. You know, I always wonder if I was Patty Wetterling, I don't know about you, after all these years, I'd still look on the TV. I'd still look in the newspaper. I'd still look in publications. I'd look at every kid that looked like they were the age of my son. And I would wonder, is that him? Where is he? Hey, I can't think straight if I lose my keys. I can't imagine losing a child. Seek him until he's found. He said, I will be found of you if you seek me with your whole heart. Our problem is we seek him with half a brain and half our heart sometime. It's not a whole, complete search. We need to first ask and desire him. That's our motive. Then we need to search till we find. That's the method. And as we search for the answers, we have got to be enthralled by who he is, or what he does will be of no consequence. Then we'll have his eye view. You realize that he's not just a delivery man, but the one who wants to deliver us from what's in our life. And I love this, because when you find out, when you search God and you seek him like Abraham found out, God told Abraham, take your son, your only son. But there's a ram in the thicket. He doesn't see until after he's been obedient. Do you know that God already has the blessings in your life prepared and no one else can touch them? They're already there. But if you try to get them other ways, they're not going to come forward. And if you tell God what to do, I can guarantee you it's not coming forward. We come in humility. We come in worship. We come in relationship. We come and seek until we find. And this is the part that really I love. To seek him in his temple. To seek him in his temple. Do you know, church is not just, I mean, it's partly social, but first of all, social to be with Jesus. This is his body. He set up the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This wasn't my idea. This was his idea. And so, he says, and to seek. This is a different Hebrew word. It means to inquire. It's bagar. It means to inquire, seek, divide, and discern. And it's from a primitive root, and I love this. It means to plow and break forth. Now, I'm a city girl from South Minneapolis, and Lil knows that. We talk about that a lot. When I was a kid, if someone said, are you going to go plow? I'd think snow plow. And I'd hand it off to someone else. I ain't doing that neither. God bless everyone that does it. I don't care for that, but I mean, I've done it in my life. This is the kind of plowing that does what? Digs up soil. Now, that tool that's used does what? It has to puncture the ground. And that ground is hard. Do you know part of the seeking of God, inquiring of him in his temple, when he's going to grow what he's already planted, he's already prepared for it? You know what it is? He has to puncture our hardness. He has to puncture the places in our life that are immovable so he can put that seed in there that's already been prepared. And if that ground had any feelings, it would be screaming its head off every time it's punctured. You know how God punctured the ground? With the cross. That wood, that stake went in the ground, the very ground God created. And it took the hardness of heart, and it changed us if we accepted it. Plowing. It's a tool, obviously, to cut and to break the hard soil and to prepare for the production and the work that's going to be done in that ground, to loosen soil and to turn it over. You know what turn over means? It means repent. That's what it means in the Bible. And often when the Lord is doing that, he's trying to get us to change our way. God's not changing his, so one of us has to change. It's going to be us to get into the place he wants to give us. He's already prepared the soil. Everything's already ready. It's just that there's some hardness on top, and we got to plow through it. Inquire of him in his tabernacle. Inquire in his temple. Inquire in his presence. In relationship. And divide and discern. The Lord will tell you what is his and what isn't. I mean, the devil's going to try to tell you stuff at the same time, so be careful. But I can tell you this. If the devil's talking to you, you're going to feel fear. You're going to feel anxiety. You're going to feel you don't do enough. You're going to feel total shame. When the Lord speaks, you're going to feel peace and joy and the lifting up of your soul. It's a totally different thing. So, Then he gives us these promises. I love the Lord. He gives promises. In the day of trouble, he's going to keep me safe in his dwelling. There's no safe place outside of the presence of God. There's no safe place out of the will of God. It's only in his presence where we're safe. He'll hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high on a rock. Set me high on a rock. You know what he's doing? He's putting us up above the enemy, and he's hiding us in plain sight. Just like in Psalm 23, he set a table in the midst of the enemy so the enemy could see that the psalmist was in the presence and at the table of the Lord. I believe the Lord lifts us up above our circumstances. He lifts us up above everything, and he puts us on the rock of ages. And the devil sees it, and he's terrified. You know why? He can't look down on you anymore. Because now the next verse says, you're lifted up above your enemy. How many want to be above the enemy? Hey, I got news for you. When he, as the serpent, was cursed, he had to crawl on the ground, right? He had to eat dust. I don't think that tastes very good. Even if you put salt on it, I don't think that tastes good. But mankind was made from the dust in new life, in the image of Almighty God. By creation, we're already above him. Truth is. But in redemption, I can guarantee you, Jesus has lifted us up in heavenly places and set us on that rock. And in the secret place, he hides us and he lifts us. Did you know that the devil doesn't know anything, everything? In fact, he knows so little, it's hard to keep up with what he doesn't know. He can't be everywhere at one time. He has no power except the words he can manipulate. He's basically a magician who tries with sleight of hand and lies to get you to believe what he's saying to you. But God is not like that. God is all truth. He said, now my head is lifted above my enemy, and he's looking up to me. I love that. And you remember that if you're even in the body of Christ, you could be a big toe. You're still above the devil because he's under the foot of the body of Christ and of the Son of God. Seek him first because you want to. Seek him and search till you find. Hey, the Lord didn't give up on us, did he? Why would we give up on him? But don't just search him and seek for the answers. Seek because you love him and because he wants to bring something new in your life that he's already prepared for you. God's a God of preparation. And then be ready. I believe without a doubt in my mind, we've talked a lot about revival in this church, which I believe is coming. And when that revival comes, and I've told the people, the prayer warriors in particular, when that occurs, it's going to hit the people that are prayer warriors first, the people that are on their knees. And I'm not going to recount stories because that's people's personal business. But I know that the enemy's been fighting people. And I know the Lord has been puncturing things. Why? To turn over the soil, to bring the new life he promised. It cannot be done any other way because the hardness is on the top, needs to come out so God's fertile soil can be revealed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord. God, you're just waiting for us to come in your presence. You're waiting for us not just to come for a problem, but to come to know you and to behold your exquisiteness. And then to realize, Lord, that, hey, you're going to puncture us, you bet. When we search and when we inquire of you, you're going to do that. But it's for the best, because if it's a hardness or a hard stone or unforgiveness or bitterness or anything that's in the soil of our life, it will keep your planting and your harvest from coming forth. And none of us want that. And I pray today, Lord, that you would just touch each one to the degree, Lord, that is your pleasure and what you want to do in every life. Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to sing a couple of songs. This first one was a favorite song of Jan Kunze. Thank you.
seek and ye shall.
Sing, and then Dennis will come up and officiate communion.
Well, now I'm not saying I'm a religious fanatic, but you know, when God speaks to me, I gotta share it. And he's been speaking a lot to me lately. We went to the state fair, was it Monday? Ran into Bev and Jen, had a great time there. But I had an opportunity, I don't know if you've ever listened to Bob 106, is it 106.1? Good country music, you know, I'm one of those country boys. Anyway, we're walking by there and the guy says, hi, come on in and talk on a microphone. So of course, you know, the way I am, I grabbed it, he says, oh, he said, you're used to talking on a microphone. Were you an announcer? And I says, no. I did country music entertaining for 40 years. And I don't know if he got angry with me or because it's a Christian station, he might have thought it was okay. But I said, you know, I entertained drunk people for 40 years. God spoke to my heart. I gave it up. And now I sing for God. Praise God. Well, you know, they're my 15 seconds of fame, I guess, is what it was. But God was speaking in my heart, and I had to share that. Also, I want to wish a happy anniversary to my wife. 23, not 24. She was planning this big party for next year, and you're all invited, by the way. Except it's not going to be next year. Our 25th anniversary, we're going to just really do it good. But now we got an extra year to plan. So it should be bigger and better, even better. But praise God, he's in my heart. And sometimes, you know, he makes me talk too much. I don't know. But I love the Lord very, very, very much. And I just hope that my life shows it. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living Word. Break thou the bread of life, O Lord, to me, that hid within my heart thy word may be. Mold thou each inward thought from self set free, and let my steps be all controlled by thee. Oh, send thy spirit, Lord,
now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth conceived within thy word, and in thy book revealed I see the Lord.
Thank you. You were supposed to get up with me. What happened?
The word of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 30. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. The word of the Lord. This is a celebration of God's love for us. He loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul was a very religious man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had this long pedigree, but when he was transformed by the Lord, he counted all of his past as rubbish, as garbage. And that's what the difference, Jerry said, we need to draw near to the Lord, and that's what we need to do. And we read the scripture that Pastor Gene has in the bulletin, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's not our righteousness. We don't have any righteousness except the one righteousness, Christ's righteousness, that we receive by faith. It's by faith from first to last. And so we need to move from being religious person where it says, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be good, I'm going to perform this thing and do that and that, and we've got to move to grace. And we need to realize that I'm not worthy, I'm never going to be worthy, I'm never going to be good enough for God's grace. It's a gift. It's not. It's a gift. And so we begin to move closer to God by saying, I'm not worthy of your love. My heart is deceitfully wicked beyond my understanding, but you love me more than I can ever comprehend, I'll ever know. You love me so much because of Jesus, and we receive the gift of righteousness by believing in Jesus, that he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might receive the righteousness of God. Martin Luther said it's alien righteousness. It comes from outside of us. It's God's righteousness that we receive by faith. It's by faith. We're never worthy of it, but he loves us. Receive it by faith. You want to draw near to God? Say, Lord, I'm not worthy of your love, but you love me more than anything, and worship him and praise him. Read his word. Just bathe in his love, and he will transform your heart, and then you can love. Then you can love, and it's his righteousness. Will the servers please come forward? Colossians 1, verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you that you so loved the world that you gave Jesus Christ to be the bread of life, and his body was broken on the cross so that we might receive your forgiveness. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that we would not be forsaken by you. We give you the praise. Bless this. May we celebrate in Jesus' name. Amen. Take and eat. Once you were separated from God, the evil things you did showed your hostile attitude. But now Christ has brought you back to God by dying in his physical body. He did this so that you could come into God's presence without sin, fault, or blame. This is on the condition that you continue in faith without being moved from the solid foundation of the hope that the good news contains. Paul writes, I am happy to suffer for you now. In my body, I am completing whatever remains of Christ's sufferings. I'm doing this on behalf of his body, the church. I became a servant of the church when God gave me the work of telling you his entire message. In the past, God hid this mystery, but now he has revealed it to his people. God wanted his people throughout the world to know the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ living in you, giving you the hope of glory. We spread the message about Christ as we instruct and teach everyone with all the wisdom there is. We want to present everyone as mature Christian people. I work hard and struggle to do this while his mighty power works in me. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you, Lord Jesus, that you went to the cross for us, as you prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it be your will, let me not drink of this cup of suffering. But you, for the joy set before you, went through the cross and put its shame to shame, because you saw how it would please the Father, and you saw us, Lord, who come by faith in what you've done to become children of God, to bring glory to God with our lives and our suffering and our love, and to be with you forever, Lord. And you cried out on the cross, "It is finished. The work has been completed. We can't do anything to add to it. We can only receive it by faith." And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin, and it is your blood that was shed. No other blood needs to be shed. No other sacrifices need to be made. Yours is the final sacrifice. And we give you the praise for this. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for your Son. Amen. Take and drink. Praise his name.
I neglected to give an announcement that should be made. Next Sunday would normally be our potluck Sunday, but because we're having our 60th anniversary the following Sunday, the third Sunday, that's going to be the day of the potluck. So if you want to bring food next week, have at it. But the potluck is actually the third. But come to church. Okay. We're still having church. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. I want you to stand, and as we sing this, if you're one of those people that you can tell God has punctured, there's hardness in your life that God is wanting to clean up, and so he can bring out what he intended in your life, then you come up when we're singing and make a stand for Jesus, living for Jesus.
shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
Amen. Now I'm going to ask one of our very wonderful beloveds, Zachary, to come up and close in prayer. It's great to see you, Zach.
Can everybody bow their heads? Jesus, what's really been laid on my heart recently is just how privileged we all are. And I don't think enough of us sometimes realize that just waking up in our own bed, in our own house, with family that loves us, in a church, if we, you know, if any of those aren't there, that we have a family in God and in church, and those are our family, and we are here to support each other and also praise you at the same time. And when we look at the world, sometimes it might be a bit discouraging right now, and some people might see, you know, darkness, but in darkness is when light really does shine. And I think that, you know, some might see that there's no hope, or, you know, just might be a little bit discouraged, but I think that this church can be a revival, and I think that all churches around the world can be that revival, and we can shine bigger than ever before. I also pray that Jerry, and that you'd be there for him during this time. And I know that times like this can be hard, but I know that you also have a plan, and that we might not always understand it, but you know what's going on, and that you'll be there for him and all of us. And I pray that you help us throughout this week. Bring us back here safe next week. And we all have a great Labor Day weekend. Amen.